And welcome back in to the Monday Morning Blitz on GameDaySportsRadio.com, brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Over 1,000 locations nationwide, Firehouse Subs, the hero of all subs. Mike Bernard from OTM Sports out in Las Vegas is still with us for one more segment here. Mike, let's talk about a few NFL games. First of all, I've got to, and again, I'm a Browns fan from way back. Brian Sipe, you know, Leroy Kelly. I mean, I go way back. And man, I thought yesterday was going to be the day. I mean, we've got the Saints on the ropes. Yesterday is going to be the day. And, of course, Gonzalez, the kicker, and, man, if he's not cut this week, I mean, he's just living right. But in his defense, the miss extra point really didn't get them beat, because even if they had gotten the extra point, St. Louis, New Orleans comes back down and kicks the other field goal to go ahead. But I mean, he had a chance to send it into overtime on the last play of the game. As a matter of fact, you know, the first 2 weeks of the season, Gonzalez has had a chance on the last play of the game to help the Browns. He's failed miserably both times. And so we're not going to talk about that. That's my own little personal rant, getting my little Browns fix for the morning. But and not to cut you off, you got any comment on the Browns and the Saints, Mike?
No, I just thought it was an interesting game. I think the Browns are much better than people realize. And I know the Brown fans are tired of hearing, hey, way to go, pal. Good job. Y'all, that was a great effort. They want wins, and they got a tie and a loss against two quality opponents. Well, I'm not sure how much quality New Orleans is at this point, but the Browns outplayed New Orleans in that game. And I'll be surprised if Gonzalez is still with the Browns by the end of today.
Very key week for the Browns. I want to see how they respond to this adversity, because they're so close. All right, let's move on to Atlanta and Carolina. A couple of quarterbacks are going to get all the attention in this game. And if I told you that one of them had two rushing touchdowns, it's Cam Newton, right?
Right.
Matt Ryan thought he played probably even though maybe if it wasn't statistically, I think if you look back over the game, what he did to help his team win, best game he's played in a long, long time.
Yeah, it was a well-played game, but really Atlanta had it in hand by the middle of the third quarter. I believe they got up 31-10 and won by 7. And again, one thing I'll point out on this game, when we previewed the game, a lot of people came to me and say, why is Atlanta favored by 6 or 6.5? They closed at 5.5. And I went back and looked. The Falcons have now beaten Carolina by 7 points or more in Atlanta 4 straight times. So you would think that rivalry played in Atlanta would be a little bit closer.
Yeah, as you said, Atlanta was up big. Cam Newton comes back, and right before the 2-minute warning, they get a long touchdown pass to make it a close game. However, I want to say the defenses in this game, they took no prisoners. There was licks passed on each side. As a matter of fact, I thought Cam Newton was knocked out. The defensive back, and I can't remember the guy's name for the Falcons, in the first half came in and on a slide just took Cam Newton out. But to his credit, Cam Newton goes in the medical tent, doesn't even miss a play because they're reviewing the targeting and that type stuff. He doesn't even miss a play and comes back. Again, you know, say what you want to about the young man, he's tough as nails.
Oh, no question. He's big, he's strong, he's tough, he's resilient. All the other cliches that people use, but in this case, they're all true, because he takes hits. And look, I saw him run down the field. He looked like an all-pro wide receiver when he cut up the middle. I mean, he still has good wheels.
He's got great wheels. A lot of people don't realize this. Of course, they know he's bigger than the average bear as far as quarterback goes. But, you know, he's 6'5". And they list him at 245. I think he's closer to 250. I mean, he's thick. But when you look at him, he is larger as a quarterback than the average of the linebackers across the league. So, yeah, he can, you know, he's got a lot going for him. Speaking of guys that have a lot going for him, speaking of guys that are tough as nails, man, Aaron Rodgers, he just checks each list.
Yeah, and I have to be careful here because I'm getting a lot of feedback about, oh, you're in love with Aaron Rodgers and you think Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback ever. When I talk about Aaron Rodgers, I mainly talk about facts. And here's one fact about this past game. Minnesota traveled to Green Bay. Minnesota was favored anywhere from 1 to 3 points on the road. Now, if A-Rod was not activated for this game, the Vikings would have been a 7-point favorite. If Aaron Rodgers were healthy, Green Bay would be a 3-point favorite. So the difference between 7 and 3 is 10. Okay, so that tells you, and most NFL quarterbacks are not worth 10 points, including Tom Brady.
Mike, you know, say what you want to. If I've got to pick one guy, and again, obviously, he played on one leg the second half of the Chicago game and then this entire game. But Aaron Rodgers, again, he's special. That there's no other way around it. Yes, he doesn't have all the Super Bowl rings that Tom Brady has, but he's won a Super Bowl. I mean, how many other quarterbacks that played in the NFL can say that they won a Super Bowl, okay?
All right? Yeah, Dan Marino can't.
Dan Marino can't, no doubt about that. I mean, Hall of Fame NFL quarterbacks, they've never won a Super Bowl. And of course, Aaron Rodgers will be in the Hall of Fame. He'll be first vote eligible. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But the game ends up in a 29-29 tie, something that you and I both was like, wow, that's the first and the second week there's a tie. And you were telling me off the air, it's the first time it's ever happened.
Yeah, there was a tie in week one, a tie in week two, and that's never happened in the NFL. Of course, in order to get a tie in the NFL, you have to go through an entire overtime period with no scoring. And speaking of that, what a terrible weekend for kickers, because in that particular game, you had kickers missing field goals everywhere. And then if you look at the Sunday as a whole, kickers had a rough day.
They did. I think Daniel Carlson for the Vikings, I think he missed 3 kicks in that game. I did not watch that game from start to finish. I was bouncing around. But I think he missed 3 kicks in that game. And, of course, the last one obviously could have won it for them. Let's move on to because we've got to wrap things up. I know you've got things to do. But let's wrap things up with a rematch of the AFC Championship game last year. Now, when they played for the right to go to the Super Bowl, Jacksonville, the Jaguars, they controlled the game. They were ahead for 42 minutes, but they saw that 42 minutes wasn't quite enough against Tom Brady and the Patriots. And with a 31-20 win yesterday in Jacksonville, they kind of got their revenge. It's not going to help them get to the Super Bowl. Mike, I want to point out something to you and see if you noticed this or not. Yesterday in Jacksonville, the Jaguars played with the emotion of a college team from start to finish. I have never seen an NFL football team play a full 60 minutes with that type of unbridled enthusiasm the entire game. And it wasn't fake. It was real.
Oh, I agree. And that is very rare. I don't ever recall seeing that unless it's a playoff game, something in the postseason. And I think you have to – and look.
And again, you know, like you said, we're not talking playoffs here. We're not – that's what I sound like Jim Moore. We're not talking playoffs.
This is week two of the NFL season, and you still see that excitement, so I get it. The point I was going to make is Doug Marrone, he's a college coach, and he makes a lot of crazy moves and decisions, just like even yesterday. They're up 11. He's throwing the ball. The Patriots have you know, the Patriots have a timeout plus the 2-minute warning. I'm thinking the only way you can lose this game is to not run the clock down. And it didn't cost them because those risks ended up in first downs. Mm-hmm. But with that, with all those risk taking and kind of unorthodox play calling, also comes the enthusiasm and the physical toughness and the college-like enthusiasm and atmosphere that you're alluding to.
Right, and it's a I thought it was a fun game to watch. And one thing that I noticed about Tom Brady, the consummate professional. I mean, you know, no matter what the score was, he didn't get flustered. And I guarantee you, as he hung up his helmet and shoulder pads in the locker room, he's already thinking, well, you know, yeah, we'll probably see those guys down the road. We'll take care of business. I mean, that's just his attitude.
Yeah, that's he's been there, you know, been there and done that so many times. They've won the AFC East 9 years in a row, I think 14 of 15 or 14 out of 16 years, total domination, unprecedented. They go to the Super Bowl like they're entitled to it.
No doubt about that. Okay, you're listening to the Monday Morning Blitz, sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Monday Morning Blitz right here on GameDaySportsRadio.com. Firehouse Subs, over 1,000 locations nationwide. Firehouse Subs, the hero of all subs. And this segment has been brought to you by State Farm Insurance, Auto, Home, Life, Property, and many other products to make your life go right. Call or visit your local State Farm agent to find out how State Farm can help you. In the Birmingham, Alabama market, contact Larry McIntosh at 205-663-3119. Located at 2685 Pelham Parkway, Larry and his staff are ready to serve you and your family. Contact Larry today at 205-663-3119 and get State Farm on your team. State Farm Insurance, here to help life go right. And by the National Sports Phone, 888-800-5000. Your one stop for updated Las Vegas odds, all free on a recorded message. Free plays from the nation's top handicappers, trends, injuries, weather, and more, all free on a recorded message, 888-800-5000. Okay, Mike, our hour is fastly winding down with you. I appreciate so much you taking the time. But before we go, we've still got a couple of minutes here. So I think everyone is looking at the Alabama-Texas A&M game this weekend. Of course, it's going to be the 3:30 CBS SEC game of the week, and rightfully so. Everyone is looking at that game. Well, you know, what are some games that you're looking at, both college and pro, that kind of jump out to you? I know it's Monday, but what are some of the games that you're looking forward to breaking down this week?
Well, I haven't even started with NFL because I just got past NFL yesterday. college, and no surprises here, the college games that I'm interested in seeing Georgia at Missouri. Texas A&M, Alabama, of course. Florida, Tennessee, a lot of history there. Stanford, Oregon, two of the three hopes, last hopes of the Pac-12 they have to play. Arkansas at Auburn, I think Auburn's going to trounce them. But here's a game that is a little bit off the radar. LSU's coming off the win against Auburn. An emotional win, a big conference win. Louisiana Tech, the little redheaded stepbrother, is going to play in Baton Rouge, where some of those players may or may not think, hey, I could play at this level. I should be walking out of that. I should be in that Tiger Walk. I like watching those games because, and I especially can't wait to see where the point spread settles, because I think Louisiana Tech might be able to play with LSU.
Wow. I never thought that I would hear that this week.
I'm not saying win. I'm just saying play with them and maybe stay within the number. But I have to see where the point spread, finals out. But that's the perfect situation. Now, of course, the players have to perform, as always. But that's the perfect storm for a team coming in a letdown spot. And then remember when we saw Memphis come in and beat Ole Miss, and we talked about that little brother, big brother, mm-hmm. situation. Same here.
Right. And of course, being on the, you know, being on both ends of that spectrum in my coaching career in a past life, you know, I know what it's like to go into some place where, oh yeah, like we're throwing you a bone, you know, you're just be happy that we're allowing you to come in and be here. You know, that puts a bad taste in your mouth. It, you know, it doesn't make you any better athlete, but it gives you a little bit motivation and incentive. And I think it's one of those things like, you know, with the perfect storm. And I don't think this was the case this past week like with Troy and Nebraska. I think Troy just won the football game. But a lot of times
– Troy's a better team.
Troy's a better team right now, no question about it. But I think when you if you're LSU, and as you said, you can – you know, you got to be emotionally down a little bit after a huge SEC win. You know, you just look at it. Louisiana Tech is not Auburn. You can't get emotionally high to the same level every week. It's just impossible to do. So there's going to be a lull, no question about it. Now, you get a lull and you get Louisiana Tech that comes in and they play over their heads. And then you get some funny bounces. You never know what may happen.
Yeah, and again, it's not the case. It's the biggest issue here is the Louisiana Tech players feel slighted. And remember a few years ago, you and I did a segment and we talked about when Mississippi State traveled to Hattiesburg.
Right.
And remember, and you brought up the fact, look, these Bulldog players, it's beneath them to go to Hattiesburg. And of course, Mississippi State was a huge favorite. And they barely won the game. So it's that's the angles I look for as a handicapper. And sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. But more times than not, they do. It just depends on if the point spread is right.
Yeah, let me tick off all my Alabama and Auburn friends right now. Okay, let me just go ahead and tick
you
them off.
You never do that, Coach.
Yeah, and let them and let them defriend me on Facebook and everything else. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to say this because it is 100% the truth. In just the recent few seasons, Alabama State, Alabama A&M, UAB, these are schools that are in state, Jacksonville State. These are schools in state that Auburn has played. Now, of course, Alabama, again, being the king of the castle, they will play no in-state schools besides Auburn. And if you know your history, you'll know if they had their choice, they wouldn't even be playing Auburn. It took an act of the state legislature back in 1948, I believe it was, to get them to play again. Okay, But Auburn at least will play these other schools. Played Alabama State last week. You know, they played UAB before, and Alabama A&M and Jacksonville State. And wouldn't surprise me to see South Alabama on the schedule sometime. But let me tell you this much. Alabama, Auburn, they won't schedule Troy. There's a reason because of that.
Yeah. Missouri, Oklahoma State, LSU. Yeah, they all learned.
Yeah, real quickly, didn't they?
They did. And look, Troy has turned into an outstanding university, both educationally and athletically. Their basketball team, it's not too long ago, they were playing Division II and 1AA. Now their basketball team is on par. It's on the 1A level. Their football team goes to bowl games and beats Power 5 schools. So, look, there's nothing to gain.
Yeah, listen,
for Alabama or Auburn.
No, nothing at all. And if you would have told me back when I was in school at Jacksonville State, well, first of all, if you told me any coach was making almost $1 million a year, I'd have laughed at you. But at the same time, I never would have imagined, even just a few years ago, that Troy would be in a position that they're paying their coach almost $1 million a year. But Neil Brown is worth every penny of it. All right, real quick, Mike, before we have to go, though, I'm going to throw you some NFL games. Of course, we've got the Seahawks and the Bears tonight on Monday Night Football. But now, again, Thursday, my two favorite teams ever in the NFL, the Browns and the Jets, and that just tells you how old I am. But my two favorite teams are going at it. I mean, I want to see Sam Darnold and the Jets do well. I want to see my Browns get a win. So Thursday night, you know, it's going to be an emotional stranglehold for me. But on Sunday, there's two games that I'm really interested in. I want you to take a look at in depth for us. Is Saints and the Falcons. They're both 1-1 right now, an important game. I think in the long run here, I think that's an important game. But the other game, the 2-0 Chiefs and the 1-1 49ers, Patrick Mahomes, wow, what a year he's having thus far.
Oh, yeah, he had 6 touchdowns against the Steelers. Quick note on the and I don't like to talk about the games before I have a chance to do all my work and talk to all my contacts. But the Saints at the Falcons, okay, yesterday, the Falcons were favored by anywhere from 5 to 6 points over a very good Carolina team. Do you know what the point – take a guess at what the point spread is this Sunday when the Saints travel to Atlanta.
5. 3. Wow.
Alert. That point spread is not supposed to be 3. It should be higher, and I'll often mention – when the point spread talks, you need to pay attention. So we'll see where it moves. It's only Monday, and that's an early line at a few casinos I'm looking at. But for them to be only 3, that makes me take notice, and I'm going to have to look into that game. You mentioned the Chiefs and the 49ers. You got two great young quarterbacks going against each other. And what was the third game, Coach?
Well, the Jets and the Bears. That's just a personal favorite. That's all that is. And I'm thinking that you know, they're playing in Cleveland. I'm hoping again. I don't want to see either one of these two teams win because they're my two favorite NFL teams. Even though I'm here in Atlanta, these are my childhood teams right here. These were the teams that I had the little replica football uniforms from Sears and Roebuck at Christmas. The Jets and the Browns. And, you know, I'm just going off the top of my head right here. But, you know, I think just because they're playing at home, this is probably either going to be a pick 'em or maybe a 1 or 2 point favorite for the Browns. The Browns have to give up a couple of points maybe. And that's crazy when you think about it. They're 0-1-1, but and they haven't won in you know, almost 18
forever.
Years. Yeah. But, I mean, you know – I think that says something to what they, you know, to what they're doing. If people are going to give them that type of respect, and when I say people out in Vegas are going to give them that type of respect.
Yeah, you're right. It's anywhere from a 2.5 to a 3 point favorite, Cleveland's favored. And look, what I've seen from them is they played with the Steelers and obviously to a tie, and they really outplayed New Orleans for 58 minutes or so and came up short there. I'll have to say the most surprising thing about this game is the fact that it's on primetime television, because rarely do you see the Jets or the Browns in the last few years playing on a standalone primetime game.
Yes, and the last time that I remember these two really going at it back from my childhood, a lot of people don't know this, but the first Monday Night Football game in the history of NFL Monday Night Football was the Jets and the Browns, Joe Namath playing quarterback for the Jets.
Absolutely. You talk about being a Browns fan. That's funny because I was a Browns fan because of Ozzie Newsome, mm-hmm. Pruitt, later on Reggie Rucker, Brian Sipe was the quarterback,
right.
Sam Ratigliano. I loved those teams back in the day, and it was tough to watch the Ernest Biner fumble many years later. Ooh. But, yeah, they were my favorite AFC team.
Yeah, no doubt. Mike, we're going to have to wrap this up. We appreciate you taking the time with us here on the Monday Morning Blitz on GameDaySportsRadio.com, brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Firehouse Subs, the hero of all subs. Mike, we'll be talking to you on Friday when we do Inside the Numbers for both college and NFL.
Actually, we'll do it Thursday first.
That's right. We will do Thursday and Friday. It's a double whammy this week on Inside the Numbers. We'll be right back on GameDaySportsRadio.com.